All right, you want to get
yeah,
into
let's
theme?
Go. Who is it?
Who is this? Who is this?
I got that mojo.
He we got the mojo working. Jimmy Doan Show. Okay, this is great.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey.
What's happening, man?
Hey, Jimmy. Oh, yeah. Hey, Jimmy. Got a lot of things. It's been, again, as usual. Unfortunately, I let go on my mini podcast that I was going to do during the last couple of weeks, so this is a major one.
All right.
It's around the middle of August. When was the last one we did? About 2 weeks ago, right?
Pretty August close. 3rd.
August 3rd. Okay, so that's been... Yeah, almost 2 weeks.
Yep.
So here it is, the middle of August 2007, and I was really pleased to notice that I got my first Christmas catalog yesterday. No, I mean, you know, not to be outdone, the LTD Commodities Corporation has sent me, and of course they have the obligatory Useful Babes, some Fox Babe, but I mean, all your Christmas decorations you'd ever want, middle of August, not waiting... Until
even Halloween,
not even fall,
right?
Not even the
it's middle of summer.
Middle of the summer, it is 99 degrees here outside. In Gainesville.
They think if you think about Christmas, you'll cool off.
I doubt it.
What do you want for Christmas, Jimmy?
Yeah, right.
Well, nothing in this catalog except this one chick is really total fox. So
well,
anyway.
Put it on your wish list. Santa might bring it.
Did anybody listen tune into the show? Do we have any listeners?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second, but I did want to mention that. But first, let me say hello again to EJ's here.
It's good to be back.
Good to be back. Our chocolatier from up north. This is great. We got a few things. He sends us great emails and responses to the stuff we're talking about.
He had a couple of classics there.
And our erstwhile barrister is here, Counselor Curtis.
Hey, hey, hey.
We have legal questions today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we do. We have some very serious ones that cannot be answered by anybody except somebody with your talent.
Cool.
The rest of us can only guess.
Right.
And
which we will do.
And we have, listen, lack of knowledge is no stopping us in what we'll
department.
Say. That has never been a problem in this department. And Engineer Eric is
good
also
here.
Good. We'll have
here.
Maybe a...
Thank you very much.
I did want to say hello a couple of people.
It is his birthday month, by the way. Everybody wish
Oh, that's right.
Engineer Eric happy birthday month.
And it turns out that it's Jimmy's birthday.
That's right.
Right. Wow, it's that's a bunch right. of birthday months.
Jimmy has stumbled over into the collecting Medicare.
Ooh.
Yeah, if Jimmy needs a lung transplant, he'll stand in line with the rest of them. Okay, this will be good. Anyway, I did want to say, it's interesting. I've said hello before to our, what do you call it? Vener I Sverige. Vi har flera vänner I Sverige. Där uppe I Kiruna. And that, for those of you who don't speak Swedish, is way up north in Sweden. And for some reason, we have this fellow up in, or girl. I'm hoping it's a hot Swedish chick, mm-hmm. of course. Up in northern Sweden that keeps banging away on our site. We don't want to say
banging's
hello.
Good.
Banging is good. Canada, of course, we have a lot of people. Hey, Canada, hey, did you, by the way, which reminds me, did you manage to get any of the Doug and Bob stuff?
You've got the, you digitized it, but I watched it the other day. It's beauty movie.
Beauty, eh?
Beauty.
We're going to have, on our next show, we'll have some of the appropriate sound effects from Doug and Bob McKenzie and Strange Brew. We don't have any right now. The Czech Republic has checked in, and of course they searched on. No, the Czech Republic has checked in, and they searched on Spice Girls. Mm-hmm. What the hell? When did we ever talk about Spice
Girls?
Their
new tour, we remember.
I guess so. Statute of limitations. Somebody was from Walpole, Massachusetts. They checked in, and yeah, Japan is here, Curtis.
Irashaimase.
That's right, from Narumasu, Shikusha, whatever the hell it is, and something.
Shizuoka. So, yeah, that's a happening place.
Well, it is now. The Jimmy Doan Show is there. That's for sure. You can bet on that.
And we had the cool Japanese.
The Netherlands, and of course our friend. Now, this Norway is someplace else in Norway that it's not from our compadre over there. So I don't know what that. Anyways, hello. Thank you again. And don't forget the.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell
donations
your
are always welcome. And there was something else. I forget. Somebody's going to advertise, I think.
Oh, I hit a Dublin, Ireland, don't you know?
Oh, is that right? Did you? That's good. Okay, so I'm going to move along in no particular order. I did send you all some of the headlines that I'd like to talk about, but in no particular order. This is one that struck my fancy, is the Indiana State Fair has banned trans fats.
No.
Yeah, well, I don't know about you guys, but every time I've been to a fair, I mean, think about it. You got
it's
these.
It's all trans fats.
It's all trans. It's 24/7 trans fats all the time. I mean, not only that. Trans fats are like on all the seats of everything you ride on.
Yeah, no,
right. All the floors of everything you ride on. I mean, let me put it here. They take what you can do is you can go in there and get deep fried trans fats.
I think that's a ride.
I wouldn't doubt. But I mean, the point is that they're gonna ban trans fats in the oil, but this is not gonna stop them from deep frying like a Three Musketeers bar. and it's gonna save you because it's not deep fried in trans fats.
Right.
So you can boil up like some whale blubber.
Right.
In non-trans fat oil.
Right.
Which I guess, what is peanut oil or something? Which one is our non?
Peanut, sunflower.
Sunflower.
Olive oil's a good one.
Olive oil.
Well, I was reading this article. I thought it was interesting that the state, of course, has stepped in to protect the people from Indiana.
The carnies?
Oh, no.
No, not the carnies. They're no idiots. They're going to have their trans fats in the back room.
Right.
And it'll be like anything else. You know, hey, you want to see little trans fats? Hey, come on. Hey, got some back here. Hey.
Cletus, we got another one.
That's right. So apparently some of the vendors are being cowed into dropping their trans fats. I thought it was interesting. This is the way the world is going, said Andy Klotz, a spokesman for the Indiana State Fair. Once we realized that taste was not a factor, there was no reason not to implement with all our concessionaires.
They're eating this fair food anyway.
Yeah. Right. Taste was not a factor. We knew that going in, but I did think it was interesting that Bob Luddy of Greenwood, who attended the fair with his wife, Sue, noted that the homemade potato chips tasted lighter and cleaner with the new oil. So taste was not a factor.
Well, it was just the new oil. I mean, when you've been carrying on the same trans fat for 10 years and frying everything in the same grease, it gets a bit heavy after a while, especially when you...
Well, what I mean is, what is it? This reminds me of the wine tasters to say it has some kind of a...
It has
strength and warmth or something. This is tasted lighter and cleaner. What the hell? How does a boiled up dog wiener, rat wiener, whatever it is, whatever they make wieners out of these
days. Tastes clean.
Dog and
tastes
rat.
Clean. It tastes cleaner if you don't drop it on the ground first.
Yeah, well, I mean, that, of course, it's standard.
I have seen people
standard
eat.
Operating procedure right. is to operate on the ground. I mean, that's part of the deal in the elephant dung. You have to do that sort of thing, and that's actually at the circus. That's different. But I did think that it was interesting that they didn't ban the contents of whatever the thing is deep fried in.
Well, I went to Indiana, the drag races in Indiana, and they had a booth there where you could get pork butt on a stick.
I saw that picture. Pork butt on a stick. Now, I mean, that has got to be... That's like out of The Simpsons or something.
Can you get kosher?
Yeah, exactly. No, the butt, I can tell you. No. That'd be, you ought to be pork snout on a stick.
I'll put a picture on the website to verify that.
That revokes like your ancestors' ideology. You know, it kicks a few of your ancestors out of Judaism.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you eat dead pork butt.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, that's unbelievable. So anyway, the next...
Snacking, by the way.
Huh?
It's good snacking.
Lip smacking.
I tell you, honestly, I had
some... Finger licking good.
Butt smacking.
I had some pretty good pork butt about 2 weeks ago down in Lake County. I'm not kidding.
Down where?
In Lake County.
What was her name?
It was not on a stick. Yeah, right.
No, hey, lick this, honey.
They had at the 4th of July fair.
And?
On the 3rd of August in Lake County. What do you got?
That's right. What do you expect? That's right. That's great. Okay, anything else on that? I'm moving along. I did notice that our erstwhile TSA has taken to investigating and inspecting buses in Indianapolis. Another thing had to do with Indianapolis and Indiana, the state fair. They decided the TSA doesn't have enough to do. They are extending that because they have jurisdiction and oversight over railroads, bus lines, and things along these lines, says Ronetta Spaulding of Indigo.
Well, you know, if you ram a bus into a building... Well, I guess the driver dies.
That's about it. And of course, if the driver happens to be a Muslim fanatic, towelhead, camel jockey person, then...
Right. And you won't see that coming, though, by the way. You either, would you? You know?
No.
As he's behind the bus, you know, saying his last rites.
It'd be like the Clint Eastwood movie, whatever, when he came in, when he drove the bus through
the gauntlet.
The gauntlet, right.
Well,
yeah.
So this is in Indiana also?
Yeah, it is. It turns out.
What's going on in Indiana?
The segue here is Indiana's gone nuts. Because this also, I was going to talk about, well, let me just see here if I can find it real quick. This has to do with the corn. Yeah, there it is. Okay, we'll talk about that. At any rate, the thing I liked about this is that at the bus stop checkpoints, TSA looked for guns, explosives, and other heavy weapons. Like a lot of people are carrying, you know, howitzers onto the bus.
Right.
Unlike the airport, however, there's no list of banned items. You can still carry a legal knife. What is an illegal knife? I know there's illegal shotguns and stuff, but...
No,
Yeah. I mean, can you walk into your samurai, whatever? Yeah.
I think not. I think it has to do with the length of the blade.
It depends on the state, and the different states do different things. In Florida, there's no length. You can walk around with your broadsword.
Cool.
So, yeah, I've got
to come to Florida and bring your broadsword on a bus.
Well, that's my favorite thing to do is you park about 10 blocks away from the gun show, and you walk there with your rifle, just draped in rifles.
Right.
And then you're just cruising down the street. The cops are like, look at what the hell's going on.
You know? You're in total camo.
Oh, yeah, total camo. Or not. Or just a black leather trench coat works, too.
That's right. And maybe a do-rag.
I remember one time we went to a gun show at Disney World one time. We had to take this tram, and they were having a Star Trek convention. This kid had, Spock ears on, and he's looking at me and my buddy like, oh, my God, Dad, they're going to kill us.
Well, didn't he have a phaser? What's he worried about?
It wasn't a working phaser.
Oh, I guess not. Oh, well, God, what kind of show
is
that?
He's under 18. You can't get him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Phaser's only for
18.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. But I love this. There's no word on how TSA will repeat the effort, but they hope riders are now aware. There's a lot of people who run up and try to rob elderly people and try to snatch purses and things like that. So I think it's a great idea, said one of the riders.
Yeah, that's what our TSA is used for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
They're
The TSA people would run after anybody. Have you ever seen that? I mean, my God. Anyway, but I love this. Once the last paragraph tells it all, the TSA calls a security check. Somebody spent a lot of time on this. The TSA calls a security checkpoints visual intermodal protection and response, or Viper for the last month. They've been working on bus, subway, and train stations in cities across the country. So the Vipers are out. And continuing on, of course, this is a lengthy article that I'm not going to go into the whole thing. In Indiana, actually in Illinois, but it's the same thing. Ethanol is feeding hot market for farmland. Now, what's interesting, as usual, we've always talked about this, how the government distorts. If it doesn't totally poison or kill anything it touches, it certainly distorts beyond all recognition.
Right.
Well, this ethanol, of course, is feeding a land boom as people realize that you can make more money in ethanol than you can in regular old corn. And that is to say, if you're going to sell it to make a moonshine, ethanol for cars,
right.
Then
moonshine for cars.
That's right. I mean, it's funny because moonshining is now legal. I say, what are you doing? That's for my car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just trying to check the octane.
Jimmy Doan's saloon and gas station.
That's it. That's right. It's the same stuff. How bad can it be when you have a dual purpose?
Right. One hose goes outside, one hose goes inside.
That's right. And most of the hose are inside. So this is good. This is ho ho ho. It just doesn't get any better than this. Or hose, 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 yeah.
So you getting your tracts of land or what?
Well, apparently the price has gone from, this doesn't mean anything. They said they paid $32,000 for it, and it sold for, a couple of million. But that was years ago. That's happened a lot of things. But apparently what happened is, in central Illinois, prime farmland is selling up for $5,000 an acre, up from about $3,000 5 years ago. But I do know that for years and years and years, the basic price of farmland was around $2,500 an acre. So it's more than doubled in some areas, and again, it's only because of the ethanol thing. But I did, in reading through this article, I thought this is so typical of a bubble near Dixon, 40 miles west of DeKalb, so forth and so on. There's a local leader of the Farm Bureau Committee focused on the worries of young farmers. For them, he said, the prices have become a regular focus of concern. Meanwhile, well-off buyers and investors, you spell investor, speculator, he said, seem to arrive in places like Dixon with an open checkbook. So what's happening is this is the funny part of it. You will hear people decry the lack of the small farmer. The small family farm is disappearing once again. And the young people of the day cannot buy a farm because the very rich people are coming in and buying up all the land for the ethanol. And, of course, people don't realize what's funny is so much of our farm policy is still governed by literally 1914 standards when they had there was a thing called it wasn't the Equalization Act, and I forget what it was. Anyway, the deal is that a lot of the farm prices are still rooted when the country was 50% farmers. Today it's less than 2%, and they're not, and they are a special interest group, very vocal, very high
subsidized.
Powered, and very subsidized, right? Very subsidized, and shouldn't be. And even 10 years ago when they tried to eliminate the subsidies, in fact, they passed a law that said, okay, no more subsidies, and that, of course, disappeared. That didn't happen. The subsidies disappeared for about a nanosecond,
right?
And immediately the 428 farmers left in the United States showed up
right.
in Congress in their combines, which are bigger than the Capitol
right.
these days, because the, you know, if you've ever seen these things, they can do, you know, like half of Iowa with one swap through
right.
it, you know, one swath through it. And they're poor.
Right.
And so
well, they're in debt.
They're in debt. Right. So anyway, the small little guy, it turns out the average age of the farmer in these days, somebody's done a study on this, is like 65 or something. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one quarter of the farmers in America over 75. Well, of course, they ain't exactly out there tilling the field. I can tell you that. They are riding around in a huge air conditioned, who knows what. Anyway, the deal is that they go through and they decry all this stuff about how the land prices are going up. And of course, this we had the same thing here locally in Gainesville, where the they wanted to improve, not improve, they wanted to put some buildings, some high-rise buildings, apartments and condos and everything closer to the university. And a lot of people that live there on their God's little half-acre, single family, you know, their two mother, dad, and the 2.2 kids, they are saying, well, we don't want this kind of thing in our neighborhood. And besides that, we know we don't want to move. Well, what's happening is that since the market is saying that land is worth like $1 million if you can put a high-rise on it, some of the people are actually taking the money and hoofing it on out to the outskirts of town, and the rest of the people are trying to get a law passed that says you can't do that. You have to sell the property for $200,000, not $1 million. Too bad.
I can't sell it for what it's worth?
No.
Because of what?
Because I passed a law that says you can't.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, perfect. It's what they do.
I agree. I vote.
Yeah, you vote for that. I know. Well, they were all down there. I wrote a letter to the mayor about that. I'm confident I'll hear
she
about
it. She threw it on a Jimmy burning pile.
But, yeah, well, they did. They do have. She knows me. She said that when I went down there one time, do we have a...
She said, security!
Yeah, security, right. The stalker's back.
Right.
That's right, the stalker's back. So the, next thing I wanted
to... Well, she doesn't work at the strip club anymore, Jimmy. You've got to understand that, you know?
Who, the mayor?
Yeah.
I don't think she ever did, really. I think she might have frequented it, but I don't... No.
What did she say to you when you were down there?
She said, shut up. No, she said, we have a special button that... this is when you have a...
I call security when you show up.
Well, that's about it.
It was a joke.
What happened was I got up there and they had reset the little... So they have a timer that dings after 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I'd been up there for about 4 seconds and it went off. And I said, that didn't, even to me, even to moi, didn't seem like 3 minutes. And she said, you know, ha, ha, ha. And we have a special...
Button for
Jimmy. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So that's 3 minutes for Jimmy is in.
Jimmy,
you know,
pushes buttons.
In,
people
is in nano
time.
Nano time. That's right. Jimmy time is different from dog years or whatever, or computer years. So next, I thought we'd drive into something a little more in depth. Mm-hmm. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Dive into something. Okay. And this has to do with our Hugo update.
Hugo.
We have a Hugo update. This is an homage to Jack Rhodes, who is not here.
Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez.
This is great. Well, anyway, we have
sound so sexy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the last thing. Of course, is the best. This was dated yesterday, August 15th, and Chavez proposes to removing his term limits. So there are so many things about this story. I'm going to take a few minutes.
Well, the most important one is we called this way a long time ago.
Oh, no. I mean, this is like, again, I repeat myself. I'm sorry, folks, if you haven't listened to this show for a while, but I would say for the last, I don't know, half dozen shows, we have told about how this is going to become an absolute tyrannical dictatorship. And when we started this, we said we'd give it about 2 years.
Right.
Okay. That was like 2 months ago. I mean, it is accelerating. It is accelerating. You can't pick up an article without this guy absolutely going down the pike and getting away with it. And a part of it, I guess, is because he's got the oil. But let me read a couple of the selected articles. He wants to be reelected indefinitely, a move that would enhance his authority to accelerate a socialist-inspired transformation of Venezuelan society. He gave a speech, as they do for some reason in South America, and by the way, Jimmy is going to head down to Honduras for the month of October, so we're going to have to do something about that.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that'll be I'm going to go down for my fourth month of Espanol. And see if I can't finally...
One day you'll actually be able to speak Spanish,
well,
Jimmy.
And I, you know, lo siento, pero mi español no es tan bueno.
Hey, that's great, but we'll be tossing all the Mexicans out of the country, so you won't need it. Learn Chinese.
At the rate things are going in this country, I'm going to be going along with them.
Right.
But that's another story. Let me finish this up here, or let me continue on. I thought this, he gave a big speech and he said we're going to basically bury the capitalist instincts in this country and turn it over to a socialist paradise, socialist utopia. I thought your comment, EJ, was quite good, and that was that the removal of term limits for Mr. Chavez, which at the heart of his proposal, was expected to be accompanied by measures circumcising the authority of elected governors and mayors. It says circumscribed, but I mean circumcised is so true. I mean, that boy, you talk about a malaprop that really works it. Elected governors and mayors who will be prevented from staying in power indefinitely, according to so forth and so on. They basically, all 167 lawmakers are in the Senate or whatever, support the president. He also has control of the Supreme Court, the entire federal bureaucracy, public oil and infrastructure companies, and every state government but two. And I love this here. The aim of the overhaul is to guarantee to the people the largest amount of happiness possible.
Well, what could be wrong with that?
I agree.
Bada.
Yeah, that's right. What could be wrong with that?
He didn't add that in there, but it says to guarantee the people the largest amount of happiness possible para mí.
Yeah, para mí, that's
for
right.
For me. I am Hugo. That's great.
I'm super
happy. Well, I love this. Of course, one of the things that is so contradictory about this, if you want to call it, is and ironic also, and some other words that I can't remember right off the top of my head. While a proposal to be unveiled by Mr. Chavez may contain surprises, he recently said that, quote, Venezuelan people should be given the right to keep a president in power as long as they like, whether it be for 5 years, 12 years, or 40 years. Now, of course, the interesting thing about this, we have a process for keeping people in office that long. It's called
re-election.
Re-election, right. But he wants to dispense with that little technicality and say, you get to choose today whether you'd like to have me in power for the next 80 years. And no, after that, no choice. Well, so, you know, it's interesting that I've often said this before. If a program is so good, why do you need a law? It's like the school system here. If the school system is so great, if it's just, it's free, we're going to give your kids an education, but by the way, if you don't want to attend, we're going to come and shoot your ass and put your kids into foster homes, and we're going to put them in the goddamn school anyway. Mm-hmm. So, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I thought that tells you a little something when you have to pass a law to make people do good things, that they were something they would supposedly do anyway.
You threaten them with violence if they don't do the good thing.
That's right. That's right, because otherwise they might get violent.
He's learning the American way, and he doesn't even know it.
That's right. So anyway, apparently his power is going to be ensconced or whatever in something called councils. I guess some local. These are the local.
That's right.
That he sets up 20,000 of them. No, I'm serious. He is taking his lessons actually from Pol Pot. I mean, where they murdered, like a million of them people in Cambodia. But anyway, with authority over issues like infrastructure and some social welfare projects transferred to them from municipal and state governments. Mr. Chavez's critics say the councils must remain loyal to his political ideology to receive funding. And I mean, but this is so typical. This is what happens here in the States. In order for you to get money to build your roads, for instance, here in the United States, the central government bribes you, says, okay, you have to have the driving limit is 60 miles an hour, 55 it was for a while, or you have to have this many DUI arrests in order to get the money. And basically they tie the money to some performance factor that the feds feel is apropos. So anyway, the hardline supporters of Mr. Chavez say the project will win easy approval. This is the project to make him president for life by the end of the year, though it remains to be seen if it will be subject to a national referendum or a vote in the National Assembly. But anyway, a lot of this, of course, is coming from the government mouthpiece, and there's a very small number of people that claim to be against him, but I think a lot of it is the same thing that I see here on our local TV, MSNBC and so forth, where they've got somebody that they call a conservative, and then they have the liberal. But if you really look at the conservative, he's like a straw man from hell. I mean, there's no, he's conservative compared to Marx or Lenin, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, he's still a liberal, and so they get away with it. So this is an update, and he is going to now become a dictator for life. And if you think that bullets are not going to start flying in Venezuela, if life is not going to get...
Well, he said he was going to give out little presents.
I guess, and they're right.
They're
the, yeah. wrong. They're,
little
right.
760 grain presents.
Yeah. Yeah. And they travel at
2,600 feet per second.
He's going to give them out fast.
He's going to give them out fast. Catch.
Wide dispersal.
That's right.
Well, unless, to lots of people.
Yeah. Unless you happen to be Penn and Teller, where you can catch them in your teeth. You
right.
know, then.
Well, did you see that Sean Penn, my favorite part about this story, did you see Sean Penn went down there and like in support of him?
Yeah.
And, you know, hung out in the front row and clapped and nodded, whatever.
Again, we the if you have tons of money, I suppose.
Socialism looks pretty good.
Socialism looks okay. I guess it does. Again, it's the utopia. It's fascinating to me when you realize that a socialist type, collectivist type, organization has never in the history, in 10,000 in recorded and unrecorded history, there is no record of it ever succeeding.
Atlantis.
Ever.
Atlantis.
Right. Okay. I can. Yeah. And Plato's Republic, right, or something. You know, whatever. So? Yeah. Sure. Fiction. In fiction, maybe.
Oh, it had to be
talking,
for real.
Yeah. I'm talking about real. That's right. I'm sorry. Forgot to make that little thing.
Well, I just love the thing. Engineer Eric said. Well, Sean Penn's just reprising his role as Spicoli.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
He's so hot, he doesn't know who he's talking
so
to.
I didn't know who he's talking to.
That's right.
He knows it's a president. It's important.
That's it.
Close enough.
He's down there to pick up some more.
He wants the pipeline.
Yeah, all right, Chevy. Yeah. Just loaded in the van.
That's right.
He wants a pipeline.
What a little military escort to the airport.
Right.
And we're out
I mean, what I think is so funny, I mean, everybody who saw Fast Times at Ridgemont High knows how well-versed in history Spicoli was.
Yeah.
I mean, Mr. Hand had to visit him at home and bring... But what's amazing still, and the really funny part about this, is that even Spicoli understands this better than Sean Penn.
Yeah.
If you look at what he said, right. You remember the quote, he goes, well, so what Jefferson was saying was... We left this England place because it was bogus. And if we don't get some cool rules for ourselves, pronto, we'll just be bogus too. You're like, Spicoli knew.
Even Spicoli.
You know, I mean, I'd like to hear what Mr. Penn's analysis, his artistic analysis of Spicoli's point of view there was. What rules was he talking about, you know?
Well, I just, yeah, exactly. Well, I just want to be around here long enough, which I obviously will. I mean, I could be on my deathbed, and they could be counting away the hours, and I'm still going to get to see the time when this whole thing collapses.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's how fast it's coming. Oh. What I really want to do, and again, I know what's going to happen. I already know the answer to this. What I really want to see is the Sean Penn and Cindy Sheehan and the guy, Jack, what's his name, from Blast the Right, and some of the other, and Barry Belafonte. And the
right,
rest of,
Harry Belafonte.
And the rest of it. When the bullets start flying and people are in the... And there's blood in the streets and the whole deal, and then it becomes painfully obvious to everybody that there's repression, there's torture cells, there's all this stuff. When all that happens, it'll be interesting to see.
Who comes out and says,
no,
guys were right?
Okay, the answer to that is none of them. I mean, I can tell you right now. But will be interesting will be to see people, we know what I'm going to say. There is the, because...
Dung.
Yeah, exactly.
But what'll be interesting will be the hangers-on, I guess. How can I explain this? The rest of the crowd, will the people who support, say, Harry Belafonte and not Chavez, or that like Sean Penn, but not Hugo, will they come out and say, Sean, you idiot!
Right.
You know, what were you thinking? You dumb bunny! It'll be interesting to see if those people will say anything, and my guess is no. But I could be wrong. But I mean, that's what I want to see. Of course, we're talking about a broad spectrum here of people that are from the diehard communist to the libertarian, to super anti, what do you call it? The, not anti-Christ, but the, yeah, those. Okay.
Close.
Yeah. No, the anarchists.
Same team.
Anarchists. That whole broad spectrum. And there's going to be a bunch of them that are going to say, see, I told you so, from the anarchist school. And then the people that are the Leninist school are going to say, well, you know, what did you expect? I mean, he's still trying to do the right thing.
Right.
He's still right. And those guys, well, as a matter of fact, let me just read one little thing here. As a matter of fact,
they're going to say what they always say when these things fail. Well, you know, he didn't do it quite right. He didn't quite have enough money. Somebody blocked his real good initiatives.
Well, let me just tell you, the president himself, Hugo, has already said that. The president said one Sunday last month on his television program that the 1999 Constitution, which he fought for after his first election as president in 1998, has become vulnerable to, quote, counter-revolution and, quote, infiltration by reactionary elements.
Which is what he was.
No, but what I'm saying is he got the Constitution he wanted, and oops, now it's being taken apart by counter-revolutionaries. That is, I don't know who they are, but... and
I mean,
it's the point is that he's already laying the groundwork
for
an escape route. Right. You know, the bad people have distorted what I set up here as the legitimate Constitution, and gosh, now we're going to have to kill him.
So he's a supreme ruler.
Gosh, I didn't want to do this.
I got it.
Okay. Hit the guns.
Well, the simple fact is,
there we are.
Look, it is. I know that people and that people think it's a theory.
Here we are.
People think it's a theory, but as Lord Acton observed, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And there's just no way around it. It doesn't. There's not 10 people on this planet that could avoid the absolute corruption that comes with that kind of power. So that's
excellent.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of Jefferson.
Is that William?
No, the Jefferson dollar coin enters circulation. Now, you said what now?
Was that William Jefferson?
No, I know you would think that. Of course, he would love William Jefferson Clinton. No, William Jefferson. This is the guy who had the $100,000 in his...
The 90 grand in
90 grand in his
freezer, yeah.
Okay, and he's getting the coin?
Yeah, I thought so.
No, it's a presidential coin.
Oh, yeah. Then that presidential coin.
Okay. No, but my question is, here's my question. I don't know, people, for listeners out of the United States, what the United States Mint in its infinite wisdom has had great success by putting out quarters for all 50 states. And apparently one of the neat things is the same thing that the...
What is great success putting out quarters?
Because nobody spends them. See, they go into collections. That means you get nobody spends them, and so they don't go into the money supply.
150 millions are collecting them.
Man, I call bullshit on that. That's what the number was in that article.
Okay, wait. Let me back up a minute. What you're saying is that you're talking about the great success of the dollars.
Well,
the quarters. People spend the quarters. I mean, I've seen the quarters. People don't care about the quarters. Now, here's the deal, though. As for those people outside the United States, this dollar thing, this dollar trick, has been tried several times before. We've had it with the Sacagawea dollar. The feminists got in on the Sacagawea and the other
Susan B.
And the Susan B. Anthony. And the problem was that the Susan B.
They were women.
They were women. That's right. And we don't like women on our money. I'm sorry. It's too bad.
Unless they're, as Jack Rhodes put it, nude chicks.
Yeah, unless they're nude chicks.
That's right.
You get yourself a nude chick on our money, and I'll tell you, people will spend it.
No bitches on our bullion.
That's right. So we could, well, you know, they call their money up in Canada the loonie, I think. And if we had the chicks on it, we call ours the booby. That would be great. Nude chicks. Yeah. Well, anyway, the point is, let me give you a little history for those outside of the United States. So 10 years ago, I don't know what it was, they tried the Susan B. Anthony, which is a little bit larger than a quarter. And it was silver. It was got mistaken for quarters. They made millions of them, and they're still in the vaults. Okay. Then they said, okay, we got the picture. So they changed it a little bit, and they made it gold colored and put Sacagawea on it. Didn't make it. Yeah. So now they have. It says right here, Mint Director Edmund Moy believes, he says, boy, we got it right this time. Oh boy, don't you think we don't have it right this time? Tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna take the Sacagawea. And we're going to take
her off.
We're rubbing her off, and we're putting on presidents. And that's it. That's the change.
Putting on what?
Presidents.
Dead presidents.
Dead presidents. Well, now, again, my question is, they're planning on doing 4 a year. So in 10 years, they'll have done 40 of them. Mm-hmm. We're now at George Bush 43. What?
Right.
Gerald Ford, is he still alive? Or he just died.
I think he passed.
It was just because croaked, what, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Was he mauled by lions?
Gerald Ford, mauled by lions.
So anyway, but well, the question is, what'll happen when they get up to 42, are they going to put George Bush 41?
George
on
H. Bomb?
H-bomb?
Yeah, they're going to put him on.
How cool would that be? The greatest president of our time in the last 8 years.
The greatest president of the last 8 years.
Well, I mean, see, the thing is, it's going to take 10 years to get there. So, because at the rate they're doing 4 a year. So it'll be...
At the rate he's making friends, I don't think he's going to make it.
No. There's no question about that. I don't get me wrong. But that's not really the quest. That's not really my point here, folks. What I wanted to show you was how governments work to some extent. The turned out the Jefferson dollar, which is the third one in the series, was supposed to have been available yesterday. Or today, I guess, and it's not. I went to the bank and they said, "Oh, we don't get this. Sorry, you know, we're in the outer rim of the galaxy, and right. You know, the Empire does not reach out here. Sorry, and you're dead there with them cloners out there in the outer rim.
Tatooine doesn't get its shipment yet.
No, that's right. And
I mean, what do they get them in the mint? I guess. So, yeah.
Well, no, they're supposed to get them here. So the lady down at my outer rim outlet here said she was going to call up the inner rim and see if she couldn't get some shipped out there, check back tomorrow. But anyway, the point is you're
trying to get a rim job, is what you're trying.
That's it, Diate, and there's nothing better than a rim job. So they call these the rotating designs on the new dollar coins. The Mint is coping to keep and avoid the famous flops of two previous coins, the Susan B. Anthony and the Sacagawea. And of course, the problem is the presidential coins are the same size Sacagawea and the same color. But this time they're going to succeed. Why?
Because it's got a white man on it.
That's right, because it's got a white man.
Man, these things are so stupid. What I hate, I tell you two things that are bad already. The Washington ones look like a big quarter. You got to kind of double take it.
I mean, yeah, but think about it. Yeah, think about it, because our quarter has
Washington
on it.
Yeah, and not only that, but the Washington on this dollar, he looks pissed off.
As well he should be. Let me tell you, as I said before.
His brows are furrowed. I mean, yeah. It's...
If he saw the state of the country today, he'd be furrowed.
Well, that's why they make them round, because it symbolizes they're rolling in their graves. There's no question about it. These guys, I mean, to think that they honor Jefferson and Adams and Washington and so forth in this day and age with what they've done. I mean, if these guys were to come back, they would commit suicide.
No,
First they'd kill somebody, and then we would hope.
They'd demolish Mount Rushmore, probably.
Yeah, that's right.
My favorite comment was one E.J. wrote. He goes, "That's what we need, more metal in our pockets, so we walk through the public government building, our dead presidents can set off the alarms."
Well, I'm wondering, I guess now, when we have we've talked about this before, when we have the homecoming parade here in a month or so, when Jimmy typically throws money out the window.
Yeah. Now you can throw dollar coins.
Throw dollar coins, and of course, they'll get me not for inciting a riot, but
assault
for assault and battery, right.
It'll no, you're gone.
Oh, that's called lobbing a deadly missile.
Ooh, missile. Well, you know,
missile.
Mythbusters, by the way, you know, they did that experiment with the penny. You heard that.
Oh, no, I didn't.
It turns out that if you drop a penny from the Empire, it does no damage.
It goes right through you?
No.
Well, other than that, it's no damage.
Right. No. It doesn't
do anything. It bounces off. It doesn't hurt.
Ow! Yeah. No, come on. It's gotta hurt.
No,
come on. That's
I know a penny apparently reaches terminal velocity of about, you know, pennyhood.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever it is.
20 miles an anvil, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the same.
Especially if it's an Acme anvil.
Right. It goes right through to Chinese.
Goes right through to, well, it's, you know, hits the coyote on the head.
Right,
you know,
right.
Acme. Bing. The Acme Anvil Company. Mm-hmm. But the point is that I love this. This big long article, and this guy Moy or whatever his name is, he's going, "We're going to make it this time, folks." And the changes are like nothing. I mean, it's such what a joke. They have a mint task force to come up with solutions to distribution problems.
And the whole purpose of this, of making the coins, is for the vending machines.
It's vending. Yeah, the whole idea is, as you know, I mean, have you ever tried? You can take a nice crispy. A dollar, $5 bill. And of course, they keep changing the money around now. I mean, you know, who can tell her what our money is anymore? It's multicolored, non-colored, who colored, you know, big picture, small picture.
Yeah, we said freaking leave it alone, man.
Well, to get it right for once, the kind of thing. But it shows you, again.
Get it right. Just make it worth what it says on the piece of paper. Well, yeah, exactly. I'd be happy with that.
Again, if they ought to do is to go back, obviously, to the real
gold and silver.
Gold? No, gold. You can't have gold. The bimetallic standard is a failure for a couple of reasons that I'm not going to go into now, but it can be proven with Aristotelian precision that you have to have one standard and not two. So, done with that. Anything else on that?
Well, you're not going into that now, huh?
Leave us hanging for the next one. Okay.
That's right. No, that's a big deal. That turns out that it's very, very well. Okay, so the other thing is... Oh, I forgot to tell about the other thing that Indiana's in the news. You heard about the parents that were a little upset about their kids being strip searched at a day camp. Well, in East Chicago, Indiana, apparently parents say their children were strip searched. Yeah, right, exactly. By priests strip searched at a city run day camp by counselors who were searching for $140 that disappeared from another worker's backpack. April Hinton, a stripper, said her eight. Well, she was a strippy. No, she was a No, she said her 8-year-old son told her about the search that happened at the Martin Luther King Center.
The MLK Center.
Now, what, is there anything?
Why does that come back?
You know, what, no, let me tell you. Are there any visual pictures for people? Without expressing the outright bias that we have here at the Jimmy Doan Show, the camp director who ordered the search has been suspended. Not fired, mind you, but suspended in an investigation by the city HR department has been expected by the end of this week. We're interviewing everybody. But anyway, the government would have a very difficult time. Apparently, now this is the attorney question. The government would have a very difficult time justifying a strip search of kids because they happened to be around when some money was stolen. So, and let me ask you there, Kelly.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is getting them ready for their adulthood.
Yeah, exactly.
They're 8 years old. The kids are 8, 9, and 10 years old. Their kids are 8, 9, and 10 years old, strip searched.
Ridiculous.
So, you know, in other words, a worker at the place, one of the counselors who was carrying $140, which is probably the entire life, so that's probably retirement.
It's crack money for the night.
Crack money, that's right. Or that, or is going to put it on the lottery. Retirement plan, whatever. This guy comes in, or girl, or whoever it is, says, I'm missing $140. I think one of these campers took it.
Too bad. Call the cops.
That's it. Well, then what do the cops do?
The cops come by.
The kids.
Yeah, exactly.
call the police.
The cops come by. They can question people if they want to, and that's about it. I mean, you don't get to just search people, and nobody is a suspect in that case. Everybody can't be a suspect. That'd be just like stopping people on the street randomly. Okay, we're going to search.
No,
there has to be some tie to the person.
Really?
Yeah, they can't just be searching people.
And you can't just be searching people.
Exactly.
So I mean, they just be searching you when they do those traffic stops and.
No, that is actually a very delineated system. It has to have written down, the procedure, what cars you're going to stop, every third car or whatever it is has to be written in advance, and they're not searching those cars. They're stopping them for DUI stuff. Oh, that's all borderline. Legality stuff, though. I mean, that's pushing the edge. Look, the edge is moving.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, what's happening is, if you want to see what they want to do to us as adults, look at what they do to the kids right now.
Well, they already treat us, of course, across the board. Like, they call this the nanny state for a reason. They treat us like kids.
Right.
You can't do anything in this town without permission. You have to get permission, literally, to cross the street. I mean, it's automated signal, but you have to. And if you disobey the automated signal, it's big money. And
they clap you in irons.
Clap you in irons. That's right.
And that's it. That's really
for
what's happening. They've forgotten
for
your
own good. Exactly.
No, it's always for your own good.
You don't treat citizens like children. That is why.
But think of the children.
Yeah. See, that's why that argument is so funny. Because if you treat everybody like
that's
a child,
funny in a very ironic way, of
and
course,
tragic
it's not
way,
really
of course.
Funny. Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, that's. If you treat everybody like the kids, it justifies everything. You can then do anything to them, because you can do anything to a child. You know, you can beat the tar out of a child for another strip search and whatever you want to do, wash mouse out with soap. But none of that stuff can you do to an adult.
Will be, though, huh?
Yeah,
headed
well,
that
that's,
way.
That's...
Can you imagine? They do make them. Of course, they do. Some of the judges now for some things, that make somebody wear a sign for 4 days or something. I stole this, or I've a deed.
Well, there are some novel punishments, but really what those are, what's really happened in those cases is, the judge has said, look, I'm going to send you to jail for 60 days, or you can wear the sign for 5 days. And so the judge doesn't have the power to make them wear the sign.
Yeah,
they can say, I'll take the 60 days.
Right.
But the trade-off is so big that you're going to wear the sign or, you know, the letter A or whatever it is. And, you know,
the scarlet letter.
Yeah.
The Hobson's choice. Of course, this is the same thing that your prosecutors do all the time. They say, well, you know,
yeah.
we can try for first degree murder and then they can get the needle, or else you can pay a $2,000
fine. Or you can
fine.
Go ahead and plead a life. All the time that happens.
The time. I know.
You go ahead and accept life in prison.
Well, even some of the ones that you told us about, they were questionable DUI, for instance. And if you fought it, you had a 99% chance of winning, but if you lost,
you're going to jail.
You're going to jail.
Year,
you lose your kids, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise, it's a $2,000 fine and loss of license for 30
days.
Yeah,
no normal people are challenging the system because
right.
The punishments are way too
right.
high.
Right. In other words, there is the discrepancy between the plea and what could happen is so huge
right.
that nobody takes. I mean, the risk, you'd have to have You know, you'd have to have the judge totally bought off and paid it in your pocket 100% before
right.
you went.
And the jury doesn't. And the jury doesn't know the difference in the penalties.
No, they know nothing about.
I mean, that's that. Of course, that's the other thing.
It's a jury of our peers. They know nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, that's right. Well, sometimes
it's changed a
lot. I'd be a little nervous about a jury of my peers.
Well, it's changed a lot. I mean, of course, that evolved from. Yeah, you know, it used to be literally a jury of your peers.
Right.
You know, they get together your buddies and be like, well, what do you think? Do you think Jimmy did it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I know. I helped.
We know we did it together.
We're not going to convict.
I got pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
We know he did it, but we're not going to convict.
I posted the video on
YouTube. So what
YouTube.
Else is new? Yeah. And
right.
What's your point? In.
Yeah. So yeah, that's not a bad jury, but it's changed.
Yeah.
And now you get it.
Now you don't get your buddies.
No, you get a jury of like white citizens from the middle of the community or something.
The ones that can't avoid jury duty.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. So that's.
Brad Pitt just went to jury duty the other day.
Whoa, you're kidding.
Nah.
He was trying to get away from Angelina.
No, I don't know. He went to jury duty.
Really? Did I get sequestered for 6 months? Judge.
Maybe he's a method actor and he was playing a juror. I don't know.
Well, who knows? But you can imagine, though, what the jury room, the deliberations would have been like.
I mean, yeah.
Can I show
you? Hey, Brad, me. What's going on, man?
You have any naked pictures of Angelina? You
know? Can I talking all about their case,
okay,
you know?
And sign this one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and a little
and sign
Jimmy
this one to Bill from, so, and sign this one to Fred, and sign this to my niece, Angelina, or my niece.
Who is this to? To eBay?
Yeah, that's right. Sign this one to Mr. eBay. That's right. Here, you know, they're sitting there with their camera phone. Phones, you know, click, click, click.
Right, right.
You know, hey, I'm here with Brad.
Just put Love John. Okay, now put Love Bill.
You want to take a break or what?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right.
That's good.
My friend, stop! Sure, we could tear this house down. No! My friend, stop! Let me finish. We could tear it down, but we'd be tearing down a part of ourselves. You could close down Moe's or the Quickie Mart, and nobody would care. But the heart and soul of Springfield's Inn are Maison Derriere.
We're the sauce on your steak. We're the cheese in your cake. Put the spring in Springfield.
We're the lace on the nightgown.
The point after touchdown. Yes, we put the spring in Springfield.
We're that little extra spice that makes existence extra nice. A giddy little thrill at a reasonable price.
Our only major quarrel's with your total lack of morals.
Our scampy costumes ain't so bad.
They seem to entertain your dad.
The gin in your martini, the clams on your linguine. Yes, we keep the in Springfield.
We remember our first visit.
The service was exquisite.
Why, Joseph, I had no idea.
Come on now, you were working here.
Without it, we'd have had no fun since March of 1961.
To shut them down now would be twisted.
We just heard this place existed.
I'm San Vishnu.
So don't take
that. We won't take that.
Yes, let's be the in Springfield.
Well, I'm convinced the house stays.